talk. No. No. Come here. Come here.
Sherlock.
Sherlock.
Speaking of Sherlock, man, I don't know how I feel about Johnny Lee Miller's new show. I mean, I saw the preview today and it looked interesting, but the Elementary?
The problem with that is, that's just, it's like the Americanized version of the British show. The British show is awesome. I've watched the first episode now. There's six that have run in the two seasons because you know how British people are in terms
with
of
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, with Benedict Cumberbatch. And that show's awesome. And this Martin is supposed Freeman. To be the Americanized treatment of it. I don't really have any problem with Lucy Liu, but I don't consider her a fine thespian. I don't think she's like a great actress, and I just think this show's just kind of garbage.
It's too corny to me. Yeah. Like, here's the thing that gets me is like, you know, when you watch like a show that's like meta on itself and it makes fun of something. Like when you watch Law and Order SVU, they occasionally have like a spoof somewhere in the background, like making fun of themselves of like a over good looking dude and right. like a hot model chick being the cops.
Right.
And like some corny catch to it. I'm just like, this is that moment. This is what those shows make fun of. You have a Americanized Sherlock Holmes whose name in the show is Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
Not like a descendant, not like fucking a guy who is inspired. No, he is actually Sherlock Holmes, and it's Joan Watson, played by Lucy Liu.
The whole thing it seems corny's a good word. I think I would go with campy. But either
shit
way,
it's corny.
Speaking of corny, certifiable total recall on the air since you started.
We back.
Okay, you just broke my eardrum. Since you started using your broadcast big boy voice, we'll just go ahead and start it right there. Andrew Van kicking things off, talking about – is that what it's called, Elementary?
I don't know. You're the one in school for this.
No, I'm not in school for Sherlock Holmes Americanized remakes.
No, but you dig Johnny Lee Miller and his junk and Dexter.
I mean, I like Dexter. I've also said that I think Breaking Bad neuters Dexter in terms of a one-man character study of somebody with a double life. I think Dexter's great.
I think you just don't like Dexter anymore because you know I got the Dexter coasters, so go eat it.
I do pine for those coasters.
You know you can pine for that? I can get you that Batman Forever strategy guide if you want from...
Thought you said you already did that. Oh, look at
that. I didn't say I did. I said I may have and I may have not.
Exposing it.
So you haven't seen it in the mail yet for all you know, if I even got it. You know what? No. Let's just make it that. This broadcast brought to you by Video Game Caverns. There's a whole lot of shit there, and it smells like poor people. Video Game Cavern.
Whoa.
What?
That'll be edited.
How? Why?
The poor people line.
Oh. It's for the less fortunate people.
No, it's not even that. It's just a mom and pop, old school. It's a flea market without the jockey lot.
how is that not you just made fun of jockey lot people.
No, I said it's the flea market without the jockey lot. It's a flea market without the actual market. It's just a small, like, decrepit building.
You just called it put in the carpet.
I'm not editing it. I'm just kidding.
Oh, man.
It's full of crap.
I mean, even the jockey lot has a fucking website. By the way, we're explicit.
Jockeylot.com/org/angelfire/Richards Comics and Collectibles.
R.A. Morgan at...
Netcom.ix.com, I actually believe is correct.
Yeah, that is actually...
He does send out weekly emails with what's coming out.
That's sad. That
I
have...
still get them.
Nice. Very nice. Actually, you know what? I've got to say this. The last time I was in Richards, it was an okay experience. I'll say this. The same day I went down to Borderlands, mm-hmm. I had a very good experience there, so I got to give some shouts to them. I hate to give two rival props on the same show, but... Huh?
With that, you're just causing problems now.
I am. It's like having a show advertise BK and McDonald's at the same time. Although David Beckham supports BK, so fuck it.
Yeah, let's do it live.
Let's do it. Let's do it live. Yeah, sorry if I rudely laughed and interrupted you. I am Andrew Van with my co-host.
Yeah, Jason Martin, as also known as @avan360 on Twitter, on Facebook.
That's me.
On Pinterest.
Yep, you damn right.
And I'm...
I am the real Andrew Van, not that white dude in San Diego.
Okay. If there's a white dude with the last name of Van in San Diego, is there one? Do you know that for sure?
Yes! He has my Twitter name.
Yeah, I've got a guy named @JasonMartin who I really want to, like, eliminate somehow. so I can have that name back, because I hate having to put a number after my name, but...
He may not even be Jason Martin for real, or Andrew Van. You know, maybe they're like those kids who try and buy website names and then try and sell them out just for money.
This guy followed me. This is how I found out he existed. He followed me because he follows everyone with our name to find out what Jason Martins are doing all across the globe. I'm like, wow, you need to see a therapist.
What is he, Highlander? Is he going to murder all of you and become the lone one?
Like Fred Dreyer in Hunter.
There can only be one Jason Martin.
What the fuck is that?
If he shows up, at my door, like, brandishing a lance.
No, yeah, basically, you need to act like Indy and have a gun ready and just shoot him.
That J dude, he moved out, man. My name's Leonard Washington, from a place called None of Your Damn Business.
My name's Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah, no,
let's do this shit.
That joke was old 5 minutes after it was done, and people still try to break that out as if it's clever.
Yeah, because it is clever. It's funny as hell. Don't hate.
Yeah, okay.
Don't hate.
Good enough.
That's not nice.
All right. So, hey, last week I actually played this. Now that I remember that you actually have to put these clips in that you want to utilize.
As opposed now we got to see if you actually play it that time in that pause.
Here's where we're going to put Raymond in. No, this part's being aired. Here is my boy Ray and my main lady, Deborah.
What ticket?
Oh, what is happening?
And here's where I will put it in, and if not, this will sound terrible.
His brother's tall! Ma!
One time, and then we had to get married.
One time.
All right.
Come on, that's a WSOP now? One time?
All right, Andy, what's happening?
Let's see. A couple movies coming out. Brave. Just Brave the Theaters took number one spot.
Did you say it Brave the Theaters?
Yes, it did. Oh. It braved off and took down Prometheus and Madagascar 3. Huh?
Prometheus dropped to 4. Madagascar was 2. Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, which also released on Friday, was 3. And
that
I
should...
saw Abraham Lincoln and I saw Brave.
What do you think of Abraham Lincoln?
I thought it was cool, quite frankly. I'm not going to go into a tremendous amount of detail except to say I enjoyed the time that I spent in the movie theater watching it. It was stylish as hell. I liked the way it took history and kind of mixed it with this story that Seth Graham Smith has written. It kind of used vampires to explain how we got through the Civil War, how Gettysburg happened, how he met his wife, all those kinds of things. It was just fun. It's certainly not the greatest thing of all time, but it was a good movie, and I'll leave it at that. I looked at, I guess Rotten Tomatoes gave it like a 32% overall from critic response. I wouldn't tell everybody I know to see it, but there are certain people I know would really enjoy that film, and I had a good time watching it. I think that's what you're supposed to get out of a movie, is feeling like you had a good time, and it did that for me.
Nice. You saw Brave?
I did.
Recently, I'll see that. I'm seeing that Thursday, so without going too much detail.
I'm not going into spoilers, except to say I think this is the first time Pixar has made a mistake. Not because the movie's not good. Pixar's my favorite studio.
Even after Cars 2, you're saying this? I heard Cars 2's bombed.
Well, I mean, it did well in terms of money, but yeah, and it had this really ugly liberal message that I didn't care for as a conservative man. But the thing with Brave is not for kids, but it's Pixar. That's why I think it's a mistake. Not because the message that the story's telling isn't for kids, but because there are significant quantities of scary images in this film. And there were kids that like put their hands over their eyes that I saw, and a couple that actually left the theater with their parents crying. And I don't think that that's what Pixar should strive to be, because we all know what to expect when we go see a Pixar film, because they all have certain characteristics. And this one had those, but it also had scary monsters that were actually trying to kill people in a much different way than what we've seen in Pixar films before. Was this the best Pixar film? No. Was it in the top half? I don't think so. It did have a nice...
That's high standards, though. I can't really fault that movie.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. This was not one of the better Pixar films, and it's still a movie I'll probably own. That's how much I love Pixar. I really like it. It was a beautiful film. Obviously, how it was shot was really good. The short that was before it, I really enjoyed La Luna. I usually like those, but this was one of the better ones. So it's
I like Night and Day.
Night and Day, I think, is
and the one with the rabbit.
Yeah, that was good too. The magic one.
Yeah.
Those are both good. The one before that was I think the rabbit was before Wall-E and Night and Day was before Up.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with you. Those are my two favorites also. But no, not the best Pixar film, but absolutely everybody should see it. But just understand if you have young kids and you're taking them to this movie, it's really going to scare them. There are definite moments where I was thinking about if I was a kid, would this have scared me? And yeah, I think it would. You know,
you also were a teenager and you were scared by Viggo the Carpathian. So let's get that into perspective first. You're an adult now and you're still afraid of Viggo.
Exactly. I was saying,
you know, Viggo has a Facebook?
Yes, I do. I accidentally stumbled on it.
How do you accidentally? Did you type in Viggo by accident in the search box of Facebook?
Not by accident.
Oh, that's what it is.
This happened. But yeah, no, Brave is another good entry. The coolest thing, finally got to see a trailer for Wreck-It Ralph, which I've kind of wanted to see what that film was going to be about. Based off every poster I see in movie theaters where it's just that 8-bit face. And you're like, what is this? Is this a video game movie? Well, yes, it is. And it's kind of a Pixar-ish animated film by Disney that's coming out in October, I believe, about a bad guy in an old video game who just gets tired of being vilified all the time and walks out of his game after going to a therapy session with, like, the ghosts from Pac-Man and Koopa and all these, like, villains who just hate the fact that kids all try to kill them or hate them for them just trying to do their job. So he, like, goes out and tries to go in a bunch of other games, like first-person shooters and all this other kind of stuff to become a hero to get away from his past. To me, that is an awesome idea. It's original. And I'm looking forward to that film. Also, Monsters, Inc. 2 is the trailer for next year. Obviously, every Pixar film has the next entry in the trailer before the film runs. And this is Monsters University, which is kind of a prequel to Monsters, Inc., it looks like. Or maybe it's not, but whatever it was, it looked good. It's still got Goodman. It's still got Billy Crystal. I'm in. I really like the one. I'm looking forward to it.
Did you notice any Monsters, Inc. reference in the movie, too? Because they do that also all the time. They put like some kind of like hidden
That's true.
Snippet.
No, not really, except that again, there were a lot of disturbing creatures.
Well, now, first off, when you say that, that's fine and dandy. But I think if kids can tolerate that, they'll be okay. Because, I mean, I closed my eyes and hid my eyes when Fred Willard was in Wall-E a couple times, and that's scared the hell out of me. So I think if they can go through that, they can see Brave.
No,
that's just my opinion.
And you need to be aware, and Pixar didn't do a good job of making it seem like this film was going to be terrifying.
Well, they did a good job putting Fred Willard in the movie. He looked real.
He was real. I just wanted to tell you that, in case you...
Well, thanks for shattering that.
So, I look forward to hearing what you have to say about Brave on our next CTR, but...
I'll probably forget.
You will enjoy it. You will enjoy it.
Let's see, what else is going on? Oh, the congratulations to LeBron's first ring last week over your Thunder.
Yeah, beat my team, but I'm glad to see him get his ring. Glad to see Shane Battier get a ring. Glad to see Mike Miller get a ring.
I am too. And I put this on a Facebook post. I said this is the fact that, like, okay, he's got one ring, but the haters are all still there. Not one hater, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven.
Yeah, no, it's going to be what it is. But and people are trying to say, well, he's not Michael Jordan, and he's not this, and he's not that. How about let LeBron James's incredible postseason stand on its own without trying to compare it to guys in the past who've won six championships?
How about he's LeBron? Can we just leave it at he's LeBron?
Just average in the postseason is something nobody's ever done before, ever, in this past postseason. So you stand up, you applaud for the guy, and you look to next season. If you like LeBron, you cheer for the Heat. If you don't, you cheer against the Heat, whatever. Whatever you got to do, but the better team won. They were more prepared than the Thunder were. And I think that my guys will be back next year and probably better for it. But all it means now is we look ahead to the NFL pretty soon. But right now it's college football and NFL on the horizon, the NBA draft on Thursday night, and kind of a dead time for sports for the next couple of weeks, unless you're a big tennis or golf fan, which luckily
or
for me.
Or baseball, if you care about Uke playing for the White Sox now, come on.
I don't, and, you know, obviously.
Ouch. Well, speaking of baseball, College World Series, maybe the final game tonight.
Let's hope. Obviously, you and I think are both pulling for Ray Tanner's kids.
I do, and it kind of hurts me because I am. See, I'm technically a South Carolina graduate, but I've always been a diehard Clemson fan just because of my father and my brother. I haven't really gotten to baseball over the past couple of years with college, but I will say this: when I watched the Clemson South Carolina baseball game a couple weeks back, I was glued from the moment on. I mean, it's unless you got something you want to focus on, baseball to me most of the time is boring. But seeing these two teams, my alma mater and my school, you know, like lifelong team, it was just astounding because they both have similar styles. They both have great pitching. They have big hitters. And they were neck and neck like 13 innings going into it, and then just one play just happened to go through. But I will say this, is that Tanner, what he's doing is just astounding and amazing.
Yeah, it sure is.
Because what you do, I mean, you can speak more of this because you follow more college sports than anybody, but what you do in college is just remarkable because the farming system they have, like these kids get recruited when they're like 13, 14, 15. I know a guy who's a customer of mine. This kid is 16 at Riverside High School in Greer, and he got picked up by the Marlins recently. Mm-hmm. No, he got picked up by the Sox. He was originally approached by the Marlins, but he finally signed with the Sox at 16. I mean, yep. These kids get pulled in at 16, either for the pros right away, or they go into college and then play for like a year or two, tops, and before they go get filtered into the system, or they just drop out and do something else. So unlike major sports where you have contracts where teams like LeBron and Dwayne will play together for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, you know, college is constantly revolving. Rarely do you see athletes go, you know, all 4 or 5 years, let alone the same team stick together for more than 2 years. And the fact that Tanner's done this back-to-back so far and possibly a third time mm-hmm. with different teams, different staffs is just – it's just incredible, and props to him for his great recruiting, his methods, his teaching, his philosophies, whatever it is. It just, you know, hats off. Good luck to them tonight, and no hard feelings, whatever. That's all I got to say for them.
You said I could speak to it better, but well said. You pretty much said what needed to be said there. Baseball is kind of – it's really a mess in how the minor league and the farm system and all that is handled. For Ray Tanner to be able to take such different clubs with different leaders, and particularly in college, the most important thing, pitching, to be able to take that year in and year out, reach Omaha twice, and well, reach it three times, and have another shot if they can win back-to-back to beat Arizona and be a three-time champion in this day and age, in 2012, based off the way college baseball is handled nationwide, is nothing short of extraordinary, and much props to him. And I'm not a Clemson fan. I've pulled for South Carolina for a long time. When I could, they've never been my favorite team in any sport, but I certainly would love to see them pull this off. But it's going to be a monumental challenge. The Wildcats are an awfully good team. But, yeah, what you said is pretty much dead right. So I concur with that. What else is going on?
Personally, I actually just went to my 10-year high school reunion.
Yeah, I saw a picture.
I gotta say this, I was very glad I went to it. I was kind of hesitant a couple months back for different reasons, but I feel like over the past few months, going through some changes in my life, I've gotten back into shape, even better shape than I've ever been. I still have a good job, and I was proud to talk about that and what I do in life and, you know, what I'm doing in life in general, like this and just other things. And, you know, it felt good to kind of – I mean, I didn't want to, like, say – like, people would get the bad impression, like, oh, well, my high school's full of jerks. I don't want to go see with those people. You know, that's – however you perceive it is how you perceive it. I wasn't friends with, like, most people at this high school, like, close friends. The people I wanted to see were there. At the same time, those who I knew, like, as acquaintances were – one, they were impressed with what I do now. They were glad to see me. And basically most of the time I was talking around making my rounds with different people, like, I – it's just as if things had not changed in a good way, and it was nice to hear compliments and at the same time, you know, kind of feel good about myself and to see the people I wanted to see. And it was a good time. It was really well done by a very old friend who I went to like elementary school with, Kristen Johnson, who, you know, now lives in Boston, but she helped organize it with Mary Donahue, who lives there in Greenville, so I believe. And from two different places to organize all they did in a very short notice, because our first and second reunion attempts were canceled, and they took it upon themselves the last minute to get this going. And very well done. And again, I'm grateful and to the people I've met, people I've come across, I'm very glad that I've done what I did. So yeah.
Yeah, my 15-year reunion is in a couple of months, and I do not at this time have plans to go. But we'll see. But I'm glad that it was worth your time and that you had a good time.
Absolutely.
Doing the event.
Yeah, absolutely. Now it's I've reconnected with some friends, and you know they found me. I found them on Facebook and stuff like that, and it's good to kind of, you know, have more people that I want in my life that have been good influences, and I continue to believe that, you know, they're going to be around for a while.
Well, that's awesome.
So, what else is going on?
A couple quick things. I am in the midst. I've got about 100 pages left. It's about 300-ish of Warren Littlefield, who used to be the president of NBC Entertainment's book, Top of the Rock, Inside the Rise and Fall of Must-See TV.
Ha, it's the rock. Ha.
Yeah, and it basically chronicles what took place when NBC was not on top anymore. Their dramas had fallen off and everything else.
When would you say that happened?
Well, in the book, it kind of gives you a timetable. It was right before Cosby, before they made the decision to greenlight Cosby. It was...
That when they took off?
Yeah, that's when it began. And when Cosby became a hit,
when do you think it fell off?
Oh, he said, actually, Littlefield believes it was the night of the Seinfeld finale.
Really?
In 98. There's a lot of images in the book of, like, all the cast backstage and table reads and all this of, like, Seinfeld, Will and Grace, Friends. There's two full chapters on Friends, and they're excellent. I just read those yesterday. But,
Friends pretty much carried the network?
Well, not exactly, but how... One of the big things about it is it goes through all these shows and explains the casting, how everybody got to be on the show, and how difficult it was to get certain actresses and actors. Like Jennifer Aniston already was working on a show on CBS. And she was backup plan, and David Schwimmer was a theater actor who wanted nothing to do with TV, and they were able to make that, and he was the guy who organized them. He became a star real fast on the show, and his agent told him, you should go for more money. And he went to the cast and said, my agents and people are saying I should go for more money. What I suggest we do is right now form a pact and work as a unit where everybody gets paid the same. And at that point, everybody had total respect for him, because instead of going for his own money, he went for all of their money and all of their stature and ensured that all of them were important.
Yeah, because LeBlanc was like getting paid the least.
Yeah, and he's one of the people they interview for it. They interview him, and they interview Schwimmer. They interview Lisa Kudrow on a few different things. Her start on Mad About You, her failed attempt to play Roz on Frasier, and then what led to her being on Friends. But it goes through all these shows, and it talks to people on it. It talks to the casting directors, all the suits at NBC at the time, and explains how these things work. But Littlefield says in this one picture, it's a black and white shot of all four of the Seinfeld cast waving and bowing to the crowd that were watching the finale. And it says underneath, blah, 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 of the final Seinfeld 1998, this was the beginning of the end of must-see television. And this was the end of it, really. This was the start of when it began to fall. Seinfeld ended in 98, and Friends ended, what, 99?
No, Friends ended in 2004.
Was it that long? Yeah, I got it wrong on my times, but I would say that that's when it ended, is when Friends and Frasier both departed within a week of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seemed like that was the end of the kind of shows that they were doing at that time. But suffice to say, and I would definitely recommend this to you, because I know your affinity for all these shows as well, some even more than me, and then some me more than you, but... It's a great book. It's not that long, and it's the inner workings and how the cast worked together and the problems that they had, how they had to deal with NBC suits, how certain episodes, like, for instance, the contest on Seinfeld were green-lighted, and how Friends was kept away from using condom wrappers for several years and not allowed to say the word penis, and all sorts of things like that, like little stories to explain how this all came about. But the shows that are at least a chapter in the book are Seinfeld, Frasier, Friends, ER has two chapters, Will and Grace has two chapters, Mad About You, Third Rock from the Sun, Law and Order has a couple of chapters, Cheers has a couple of chapters, Cosby Show has a couple of chapters, Seinfeld has three, which isn't a real big surprise, but, you know, they've got most of the people you would want to hear from commenting in the book about these specific situations, And it's, again, it's an easy read. It's not very long. I would definitely recommend it to anybody. So if you wanted to say pick of the week, I know we're both playing Lego Batman 2, and I think that falls into the category as well. But I would pick this book right now as a pick of the week, along with Lego Batman 2 and the network, or excuse me, the Newsroom, which premiered last night. Sorkin's new show, which I won't say anything about except to say HBO made it available to everybody on Earth today online for free. Until mid-July, you can watch it at HBO.com, on Dailymotion, on YouTube, because they want the word spread. 2.1 million viewers tuned in last night, which is pretty good for an HBO show, considering the number of subscribers and all that. But you have an opportunity to watch that for free legally for about the next month, so I suggest you take advantage of that. There you go. Nice.
Well, one quick thing I want to mention real quick, then we want to get to the subject. I'm on my Zeit app on iPad, and I noticed there's a story on Marvel.com just came out literally an hour ago, so within the time we're talking. Marvel goes pink in October. Have you seen this?
No, I have not.
Google it in the next couple of minutes if you get a chance, but it's pretty cool. They're going to be variant covers of several big comics like Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Black Widow, Wolverine, and more. And basically, yeah, exactly. They're going to have like pink covers. So like, there's a picture of like Cap here. His shield's kind of pink tinted to it, and there's a, you know, benefiting Susan Komen label on there. Thor's hammer's glowing pink lightning. His like emblems on his chest have little pink symbols. X-23 is on the cover of Wolverine. So, I think that's definitely a first, if I'm not mistaken. And that's incredible.
I mean, that's
I would have never thought of something like that, honestly.
That's awesome.
So, props.
Yeah, I mean, those, you know, I get a few of those issues. I don't get a lot of comics anymore, but I will get the pink copies that month for sure.
Is it me, or is like Marvel is like just overhauling the hell out of themselves this year, trying to just blow past everything DC's doing? Like, oh, DC's like, oh, we're going to restart the whole continuum of our entire franchise. How's that? Marvel's like, whatever. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
No, I know what you're saying. I think they both kind of are, but I think Marvel doesn't want to go all New 52 with it.
I don't think they need to, because that's I'm still just not a fan of that whole thing. Sorry. I mean, I've said this before about why I quit reading comics is the fact that, like, I feel at times the stories that I've read have just meant nothing. I mean, you and me have had a discussion about how Civil War was so good until the end and what it meant and what it really just didn't have any ending. It just led to another shitty storyline, which that shitty storyline led to something even worse. And that whole thing just wasn't even worth it because basically, literally, you make a deal with the devil, you just wipe away everything as if it never happened. I mean,
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so good job. At least in Marvel's case, it's like, you know what? We're at least going to boost our sales and do it for a good cause. So, oh, whatever. Anywho, topic at hand?
Well, no, a couple other real fast things.
Oh.
I got my first job, like actual paid job in broadcasting officially this week. Well, last week, but talking to the guy to absolutely finalize everything over the next couple of weeks, but I am going to be the lead play-by-play analyst for Nashville High School football every Friday night in the fall. Money is respectable, experience is outrageously good, and it's going to enable me to not just be an intern, but to continue with a great organization, and it's going to be available not just on a radio, but via podcast as well, simulcast. So a lot of people who just know me and might want to hear that are going to have an opportunity to do so. So I just wanted to let that information slip. I haven't even done that via social media yet, and I probably won't for another couple of weeks, but those that listen to this show will get the info.
You're telling me you're one step closer to moving closer to South Carolina?
Wait, what are you saying?
I'm just saying this town and this state misses you. For those of you who don't know, I'm recording out of Simpsonville, outside of Greenville, South Carolina. And thank you, Skype and technology. Mm-hmm. Jason is recording from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And our sound quality is not bad compared to some podcasts I've heard lately. Local podcasts and other podcasts.
What kind of local podcasts are you listening to?
I don't want to name them just
that.
No,
I understand that, but like what kind?
Like comedy and new stuff. Okay. So, by the way, I say that, and to those who've listened to our Avengers podcast, I apologize again for the shitty sound quality. Don't know what happened. And to those who got through it, well, you get a cookie.
But
Jason owes you a
cookie. Yeah, I guess I owe you a cookie. But if, in the words of Bubba Watson, after shanking a drive that went over 400 yards way right and basically knocked him out of a tournament a few months ago, looks over to the crowd, crushed that sucker, though.
Yep.
That show was off the chain. If you were, unfortunately, the audio didn't dictate it great, but we'll have an opportunity when the Avengers 2 comes around to revisit said information from that podcast, but it was fun to do. The last one, the sound was back to where we're used to it being. Still not wonderful, but certainly listenable and enjoyable, and looks like tonight actually is better than that one, at least thus far, so that's a good sign. Real quick, talk about Person of Interest. Make me happy, make me feel good for not wasting your time by telling you you should give it a shot, and then we'll move on to what I think is going to be one of the more fun and maybe contentious topics we've had in a while. Lego Batman 2 is cool too.
I don't know what contentious means. No, it's cool, except it's not multiplayer online. What the fuck?
Yeah, that would
explain
be fun
to me that,
and especially when I'm controlling three players at the same time, when I'm controlling Superman, Batman, and Robin.
How the hell are you doing that?
Well, you have to.
What, you like moving control and moving the Kinect?
No, you have to switch between each character.
Oh, that's gross.
Perform all of the actions that are necessary to get through the level.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah, it's not
but yeah, seriously, man, what the fuck? Like, this is like the perfect game to put multiplayer co-op online. What the hell, really?
Didn't you guys notice how Scott Pilgrim would have done had it been co-op online?
Oh, don't get me started.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn it, don't get me started. Exactly. No, but Person of Interest, again, it takes me a while to kind of get hooked into a show and to get the energy. Like, all right, I'm going to sit my fat ass down and watch this show and just sit here. Person of Interest has been nagging me for a while. It, by meaning you. And I have no regrets. I don't remember the last time I saw a show that I was just this. Actually, no, I do. It was Lost. Lost, I watched all five seasons in 3 weeks because I was that engrossed. But Person of Interest, just to me, it is CBS's, and I don't mean it by CBS like, oh, it's a TV show, it's definitely like a downgrade. No, it's CBS's way to me of having Bourne and Nolan's Batman mixed with Minority Report. With like a twitch of like Firefly in there because of the way the dialogue and the characters run together. But it's a spy espionage show, obviously. You know, it's something terrible happens to an ex-CIA / hitman or whatever the hell he is until I find out because I'm only halfway through. And it deals with similar, and I don't want to mention this because I don't want to like make people not want to watch when I say this, but it deals with post 9/11 tragedy, so yes. Bear that in mind going into that. But basically, Michael Emerson's character, why did I just lose his name? Ben from Lost.
Harold Finch.
Right. Well, I was gonna say what was his name?
Oh, Ben Linus.
Lost? Yes, thank you. Linus, the character from Lost, is in the show. Both main characters, by the way, are just off the charts. Insanely well written for and both well acted in the show. Batman's character makes a machine that basically is input into all government machines and camera systems and all kinds of stuff. And it's a mix of Bourne, Batman, Minority Report, and a mix of, I just thought of this the other day, Enemy of the State. Because it's got obviously the Big Brother elements almost in every episode of being watched and being, you know, followed and stuff like that. And have to watch every move and targets and stuff like that. But it's got great dialogue. But he builds a machine to basically watch over people and to predict crimes. So that's my Minority Report aspect of it. And he is obviously incapable of doing things physically. So to right the wrongs of his past, he recruits Jim Caviezel's character, who's only known as John Reese, who is, like you said, Jack Bauer on steroids. Correct?
Pretty much.
So, and basically the two of them go hunt down bad guys before crimes can happen, based on little knowledge before they find out what the purpose is. And Josh Carter, I don't – what's her name off the top of your head? Something Henderson?
Taraji P. Henson.
She is incredible on the show too. Yep. She's just – really great, strong female character on the show that has really good deep background, good deep story. It's similar to Saeed's on Lost, like a army interrogator, which you wouldn't get just looking at her, but she plays it off so well. Tough chick, I mean, basically no bullshit kind of thing, and she stands her ground. Mm-hmm. And it's a mix of what you said. You know, Emerson's character is like Alfred slash Oracle, which I agree with the Oracle part. Caviezel is at times a lot like Batman with that whole voice, but he kind of like, if you mix Batman mixed with, to me, Nathan Fillion from Firefly a little bit, just that smart ass whip back and forth between the two of him, between him and Emerson. Like when they're sitting there, just when he basically keeps tracking out Emerson for fun at the beginning of most episodes.
Right.
Like, what's good here, Finch? I don't know what you're talking about. Your tricks aren't going to work for me. He's like, what are you talking about? You're trying to see if I come here often, see if it's a pattern, see if, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, damn, like, that's just funny. And then, like, when he's sitting there trying to put a camera inside a doll to spy on somebody, he's like, I didn't know you like to play with dolls, Finch.
Yeah.
Just sneaking up is just so good. But, yeah, overall, love the show a lot. I'm hooked. If I had more time in between doing stuff in my personal life, I really wish I could just finish it all right now just to get it over with, because it is like crack, and it is definitely a worth watch. Written, created by Jonathan Nolan, a.k.a. Christopher Nolan's brother.
Produced and distributed by J.J. Abrams.
Yes, Bad Robot, so, Cloverfield, Star Trek.
Lost, Fringe.
Lost, Fringe, all those. Aliens. You got any, Alias, you got anything good with those, man? You're really not going to miss much on the show. Just watch it.
I just posted, actually, for those of you who are already fans on the Facebook page. If not, you should probably be one. I just posted a direct link to my actual column.
Page?
Yeah, we do, at / certifiable total recall. Very easy to find and like. But I just posted a link to the actual piece I wrote 4 months ago on the comparisons between Person of Interest and Batman. And those of you who found me through Tumblr, because I wrote a Person of Interest column and you guys were big either Abrams or POI fans – and you sent me either messages or started following me or shared it or whatever it was, because there was a tremendous response to that piece. Even a couple of TV critics got wind of it, apparently, thanks to you. Glad you enjoyed the piece. But if you are curious as to what POI kind of is without it really going all spoiler vision on you, then that's probably the best way I could tell you to get involved, is maybe take 5-10 minutes to read that piece and see if it fits the bill. If you listen to this show, likely it's a show you should be watching, and Andy will just continue to like it because it's also a show that continually gets better as it moves along. It starts out to me really good, but with a little bit of room for improvement here and there. By the end of the season, it completely understands where its story is going and kind of follows more of each episode is not just a standalone kind of deal. It's not a procedural or anything like that. It actually has a continuous arc that becomes really the crux of the show. So I look forward to you getting a little further into it so you can see some of that happen.
What gets me is, and maybe I'm wrong because, again, I'm only halfway through at this point, but I feel like they've rushed some things. Like, I wish that Caviezel and Henson's character hadn't met yet. I wish that they had done the whole – I like too, they did something similar to Batman Begins when they first meet, quote-unquote, face-to-face, when she's kind of woozy and, drowsy. And
right.
She sees like a silhouette figure. That was cool because that reminded me of Batman and Spider-Man. But what I also do and I don't like, I love the guy who plays Elias, but I wish that maybe he wasn't revealed the way he was as soon as he did. Like, it was like episode 7.
Not exactly the character we remember from Just Shoot Me.
Mm-hmm. And he also had that show, The Unit, which he was really good on.
Enrico Colantoni.
With Amy Jo Johnson, a.k.a. the Pink Ranger, and David Palmer.
And David Haysbert's son, yes.
How you living? But to me, I think that was just introduced too early. And like, I wish it was more of a mystery aspect, kind of like Red John with...
Yeah, with The Mentalist.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. The only difference between the two shows was The Mentalist was a major ratings hit immediately. Person of Interest kind of was slow to grow. At first, it was kind of on the cusp of not making it. and then it won the People's Choice for Best New Drama. The ratings continued to increase, so I think they kind of tried to blow the wad a little earlier with the characters to try and suck people in. And if that's why, and that means I'm going to get 3 or 4 more years of this show, then I'm fine with it. Mm. But I understand your point. You're absolutely right.
Oh, and girl, Paige, oh, what's her name?
Soko.
Man.
Yeah.
April O'Neil?
Yeah.
How you living? Seriously.
Linda Cardellini. There's some good stuff on that show from that perspective as well.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of good guest stars already just halfway through that thing. And the stories are just amazing. Like they lead you one way, and then you just kind of caught off guard in a good way. Like, oh, you flipped around. Because you kind of feel it with the guys, too. Because you kind of – here's the thing about the show that's brilliant is you, on the same time, the characters, they get a number. They follow someone with that Social Security number, but they don't know why. You're also in their footsteps because you don't know why you're watching it. You don't know what this person's doing. So at the same time, they're finding out. You're finding out, too, at the same time. So that's kind of – it's interesting. Unlike like a CSI where you kind of suspect between the 3 or 4 characters guest starring in the show, like, oh, who did it? You're kind of guessing what's going on the whole time. So it's suspenseful. And at the same time, to me, like, just do this. Why? Anybody listening who hasn't listened to us yet who've taken a word, find the first episode if you stream it or if you – buy the DVD at some point, watch the first 2 minutes, and yep, you'll get what this show is about.
Yeah.
It's very boring.
I had
very
some
boring.
Other – yeah. there were some other people that I had suggested to that were worried because they're like, I don't know about Jim Caviezel, you know, Passion of the Christ and all this. That was never a problem for me because I've always liked Caviezel. But that's the last thing you need to be worried about on Person of Interest is Jim Caviezel because he's incredible on that show. Like, if you're worried about Jim Caviezel not being good enough to keep your attention or whatever, that character is unbelievable.
Yep.
Like I said, the only comparison I make, Bourne is a good one, and Jack Bauer on TV, really. And not exactly the same, but in certain capacities, and just the way in which he deals with foes at times is just crazy good. But, yeah, so we'll revisit that when you finish the first season. Maybe we can do a topic on it or whatever. But the topic at hand, and I'm actually going to attempt at this point, and you'll hear me say this, but I don't know whether or not it'll end up happening or not, to throw some music behind us that makes sense here. But first,
this kind of
makes sense. Here's Linda Richmond.
Talk amongst yourselves. I'll give you a topic. The Romanesque church design was based on the Roman basilica. Discuss.
We should both do it. In 3, 2, 1. Live it's from New York, it's Saturday Night.
Live.
Yeah, you totally blew it. That was weird. We're going to both do it. Way to go. Nice job.
Live.
Well,
that's the person, whoever the guest is doing it. It's the voiceover does it.
It's Saturday Night Live.
No. Live from New York, Saturday Night is the main, like, you've made it on Saturday Night Live as a cast member to be given the honor to actually say those words. I remember listening to Bill Hader a couple months ago talk about when he first was allowed to do it, that everybody came up, congratulated him that night and said, you finally made it. Finally, that's your first live from New York. That's like you're there. You're in when you do that.
We're not in. So we're going to do that again?
No, we're going to let it go because that terribleness is a very good microcosm for it.
Fine. You. Fine.
With musical guests.
All right, so
we've wanted to do Saturday Night Live for a while. You and I have been big fans of the show for a long time, and then we have both kind of not watched it.
Like most people.
Yeah, and I've come back to it, but even I admit that the writing as a whole is still not where it needs to be, and they still
the
rely on
there
things.
At times.
The talent is there in a lot of ways, but that show, the era where we grew up in our cast, well, I guess my cast was one before yours, but those two casts both were very, very good, and we were trying to figure out how we were going to do this. Are we just going to rank our favorite Saturday Night Live competitors or whatever, or actual stars on the show, or what were we going to do? And the idea that we had the night we decided to do a podcast when we were just on 2 cell phones and I decided to hit record when we were talking about what would we do if we were doing a draft for 24 and we did a draft like a sports draft going back and forth trying to pick, you know, 2 winning quote-unquote teams of characters from 24 and then we've done it again with Lost, which all of you have heard.
Speaking of which, did you get Cougar or did I get the Cougar?
I think you offered, or I was able to get the Cougar and
Drama.
Yeah, and Kevin Dillon. If I gave up somebody else and I refused to do it because I didn't want the Cougar.
Come on, that was a good trade. It's still a good trade.
Yeah, my dad's getting a stuffed Cougar for Christmas.
Good, that's what I told you to do on your Facebook.
As soon as I saw that, I'm like, man, that's going to save me some money. Probably only cost me like $15 to get a good stuffed Cougar. Pound puppy or something like that. But so we decided, why not do a draft again? It was you actually reminding me of the idea that we did drafts before and saying we should try it with this, and you were right. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to pick a 10-member cast of Saturday Night Live, and while we do it, we get to talk about all these people that we draft and how they relate to the show. And when we get to the end of these casts, we're going to have picked, likely, most of the people that would have been on just a pure vanilla ranking system and hopefully have some fun in the process. And probably there will be some trades because there will be some people that if they get drafted, I'm going to be so angry.
I am so hoping you get the little doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo noise for this when I do offer you a massive trade. Because it's me who does the trades. You just kind of stick with your team. You're like, nope. So, whatever.
Yeah, well.
And I give very fair trades. I give draft picks. I give Cougars. I mean, we even named the Cougar Bubbles, if I'm not mistaken.
You give fake money.
You'll get it in the mail. Along with Batman Forever, the strategy guide.
Yeah, to go with my McDonald's glasses.
Oh, well, I still owe you your mass disc one from Christmas.
Yeah, good work.
Hey, it's still here.
If I leave it here. All right, so I made a joke about this, and of course this is how it's going to go. Instead of flipping a real coin, it's 2012, and Andy is going to flip a virtual coin on his phone.
Well, I want the sound effect in the mic, so here we go. You got to call it now.
And
son of a bitch.
Did I get it?
And again, I'm going by the honesty system here. Fuck. There's twice two drafts where I flipped the coin and I admit you actually won. What the hell?
I'm thinking
do-do-do-do-do-do.
Likes me better.
What's that?
I think your coin just likes me better.
Probably.
I don't know.
All right.
All right.
Have you done the draft boards? Has Kuiper come in and told you who you need to get first overall?
He has to, because I have very few heroes in this world.
Mm.
Two of them are former Saturday Night Live cast members, and one of them is probably my favorite person.
Oh, Gilbert Gottfried. You're going with Gilbert Gottfried.
Well, thank you for stealing that one. No, I will be going with Phil Hartman.
Okay. Very respectable. Phil Hartman!
Obviously, he had iconic characters like the Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer, Frank Sinatra, and so many others that he did through the years. and he played a great Bill Clinton. But one thing that, and Bill Hader said this in the interview I listened to, he said that the brilliance of Phil Hartman was during, for instance, the Matt Foley scenes where Chris Farley would go crazy. One of the better parts of that scene is Phil Hartman being able to play deadpan serious, like being a true actor through that to help sell the over-the-top nature of what else was going on screen. Phil Hartman had the ability to be completely nuts and do the voices and have fun and do all that, and then he was able to turn the clock and just be completely 100% professional on camera, never breaking, and just the amalgam of his work, even past Saturday Night Live, loved him on News Radio, and that's my guy. Phil Hartman is one of my two or three heroes in this world, and so he's getting my top spot.
All right, for my team, the Gotham Rogues.
You're not taking my fantasy team.
I'm sorry, did I hear you call the team name when we started? No, you went with me. You said I. You're going with that name. You're the I's. You're selfish. I have a team. Thank you.
Ellen Cleghorn from you in a minute.
Aw.
Best thing Ellen Cleghorn ever did. All
right.
Was to have a joke made about her on Family Guy.
When have they found a vehicle for Ellen Cleghorn?
Exactly.
Ha-ha! My first round pick is... Will Ferrell!
Not surprised. I wasn't sure if he'd go in first round, but...
That's the Sam Bradford of the draft, man. He's the sure number one pick. He's Andrew Luck, man.
He drives a Dodge Stratus.
Yeah, he does. I mean, just like Hartman, like you said, I mean, he had that work ethic. And from day one, when I was a kid, whenever I heard him, like, people talk about him behind the scenes, stuff like that in interviews, they're like, he never broke character, had a very still face, did very few second takes, like, during rehearsals, stuff like that. You can even see it in his movies. Mm-hmm. Like, there's very few outtakes because he does those one-liners, and he just ad-libs most of his shit, and it just serious face. Just does not break. And it's just – it's astounding, and it's crazy, like, just the amount of talent in there. And just, you know, he made Saturday Night Live in those, like, mid-late 90s to me with all the characters from Inside the Actor's Studio – to the Night of the Roxbury guys. I mean, come on. They did a movie off that crap.
The Cheerleaders.
The Cheerleaders, Sherry Terry, which may be picked soon, but whatever.
The old, the couple that sing with Anna Gasteyer.
Homicill.
Yeah. And, yeah, I know he's iconic, and I would have definitely probably taken him next, so... I certainly agree with that. Ferrell, definitely probably one of the most successful outside of Saturday Night Live from the career they were able to negotiate afterwards.
And well-deserved, too.
Oh, yeah.
So the Eyes pick next.
The Eyes?
That's what you are.
Is it?
I don't know. I'm okay. The Gotham Rogues. I don't give a shit who you are.
Now, one clarification I wanted to make. We're not picking update anchors because we're going to do that last. They all kind of fit themselves because, with the exception of one, really, they were all just update anchors and weren't really featured anywhere else on the show. So we'll save them and not include them in this early part in this list. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, everybody has to be represented. You can't have a team that's all from one era. You have to take people from every era. So keep that in mind, and there has to be females, you masochist.
Whoa. I'm not the self-centered eyes around here, okay? So pick your next pick. Go ahead.
All right. Real simple. Dana Carvey.
Son of a bitch.
And the reason why is because I think of everybody that's ever been on the show, Dana Carvey is responsible for the most characters which were significant on their own, whether it was the church lady, whether it was Garth, whether or not – a lot of them are escaping me right now. He did Regis. He did everybody. And he was able to
George
to do
Bush,
it all.
Hello?
Yeah, of course. Obviously, he did Bush. He was just magical. He was magical. And to me, the first thing I think of when I think of Saturday Night Live, the first name that usually I think of is Dana Carvey. That was the first guy I watched that made me want to continue to watch that show every single week. And so he gets that spot.
I almost want to jump the next pick because you took Dana. I think you know who I'm going to, but I think I'm gonna stick with my plan. Next up are the Gotham Rogues in round two. Select Daryl Hammond.
I like that pick. I was wondering if he would get on this list, but he absolutely
should. Daryl Hammond was like, you know, like, so you had Phil Hartman as your hero?
Yeah.
Daryl Hammond was mine because I loved all his different character voices because he, to me, was a less annoying Frank
Caliendo.
Caliendo.
I think Daryl Hammond was...
I'm more talented, Caliendo.
I think he was the successor to Phil Hartman.
Yeah, I remember you told me that in the past, and I full-heartedly agree with that. And he's still, to me, as long as he was on that show. I mean, he was on that show for almost 10 years,
and he
like off and on.
Back up sporadically.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, because he's 14 years off and on. 14 years. I'm sorry, and has to me one of the most characters next to Hartman and Carvey, and. To me, like, people still somehow forget that he was on the show. That's amazing to me. I don't know how.
No, yeah, he was so good at everything.
And his stand-up, however,
I don't think I've ever really seen him do stand-up.
It's okay.
I imagine it was a lot of impressions.
Yeah. Again, Caliendo, or whatever.
Okay.
Play dirty now.
Hmm?
We're going to play dirty.
This is a guy who I'm not sure everybody would think of right off the top, but he's another one that just comes straight to mind with me, another one that's responsible for so many important characters, and that's Mike Myers.
Damn it!
If
I didn't go with Daryl Hammond, I was going to go with Mike Myers because I wanted the Wayne's World on my show, but no!
You've
got to be that guy.
Well, he was that. He was Sprockets. He was Simon. Mm-hmm. He was the guy that was chained to the swing set, the kid.
Well, hello, my name is Simon.
And I like to do drawings.
Yeah. Are you looking at my ass?
Yeah, he did. I mean, he did everything. He was so versatile. And just another one of those characters who had a lot of success after leaving the show, at least until he did The Love Guru.
You know, they're still talking about making another Austin Powers?
I wish they'd remove three from my memory and redo it with a completely different name and a different script. So there you go, Mike Myers. So my first three are Hartman, Carvey, and Mike Myers.
Asshole. Hold on. I had it, and I think I'm going to stick with it. I got to go with one of my favorite comedians of all time. I got to go with Buckwheat.
Eddie Murphy, good choice, sir. Very good choice.
Oh, man. Ever since I can remember, one of the funniest skits to me ever was a commercial.
White man.
The white man, the Dan Life of a white
Unbelievable.
Man.
Unbelievable.
Well, my man just did one of all the white makeup, and it was just like he was following himself and other white people to see how they like would act differently during the day as if he weren't a black guy. And like there's a part where he goes to the bank, and he's talking to a black loan officer, and he's like, "Sir, you don't have any credit, you don't have any collateral, and you want to take out $100,000 loan? I don't see how this is gonna work." And the guy, another white guy, comes over, like, "Hey, go take a break, sits down." And again, this is a quote from the skit from 30 years ago. So don't get mad at me, but if you do, you can email Tim Allen or Tim Taylor at Tool Time.
Yeah.
But he goes over and is like, "Hey, why don't you get some lunch?" And he goes, "Silly Negro.
Yeah.
Take this money. Take all the money." He's going to the gas station, and he has a newspaper and a cup of coffee, and he pulls out his wallet, and the guy who's also white behind the counter goes, "Hey, what are you doing? Just take it. You know, we don't need our own money. Just take it." It's awful, but it's just so funny, because at the end he's like, "And you know, you should be aware of who you're around, because we can be anywhere." And it's like all the people putting the white makeup on, just like sneaking up. That then to me, like that, and Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood, where he's playing like the black Mr. Rogers.
There was that one. There was Gumby.
Oh my god.
The thing about it is, what shows just how good he was is there were so many memorable things that he did in a 4-year span. Is all he was on Saturday Night Live. There are people that are on that show for 8 years that don't have the moments that Eddie Murphy had in 4. And obviously, he would have been on longer had it not been for 84 is when it all blew up. That's when a Golden Child, Homecoming to America was 88. But, like, that's when his movie career started, really. And he had to leave. But, yeah, Eddie Murphy should be near the top of anybody's list. So that's pretty solid. Will Ferrell, Daryl Hammond, and Eddie Murphy. That's real solid.
Jelly? Want to trade?
No, I'm good.
What you got?
I'm good. I'm going to take the first female for my fourth pick, and that
David Spade?
Is or Chris Kattan.
David Spade.
No, I'm going to take Kristen Wiig, because I think, and I've seen most of the females that have been on the show, and there have been some incredibly talented ones, from Jan Hooks to Anna Gasteyer to Amy Poehler. There have been a lot of them, but to me, I think Kristen Wiig is the single most versatile, just raw talented performer that show has produced from a female perspective, that was just made to be on that show. And even though she just left, just the legacy of what she was able to do is just spectacular. And so she's definitely on my team.
Well, if you're going to be that guy, then I'm just going to piss you off right now. For the fourth round pick, the Gotham Rogues select Tina Fey.
I wasn't going to take her.
Oh, you're such a liar.
I'm in love with her, but...
You mean stalker? Whatever, same thing.
Alone. The picture's me and no one else. I'm in love with her. I think she's the most beautiful thing. Like, I wasn't going to take her because she wasn't in all that many skits.
Yeah, but what she did to the show and what she had kind of like helped jump start the show again from what it was.
Agreed. I got no problem with that. Do you have any further exposition there?
No, I mean, basically, like I said, just the fact that she helped basically co-write a lot of the show back when it was kind of struggling in the days, and she gave back a strong female presence when, like, O'Terry was kind of fading away and Gasteyer had left and Shannon had tried to go on to bigger things. I mean, I think she stepped in and did a really good job before, she went on to, like, 30 Rock and other things she's doing now. So,
yeah,
Absolutely. And plus, I mean, Palin, the Palin spoof is like one of the most popular things in the past like 10 damn years.
It is. And deservedly so. My fifth pick is Chris Rock.
All right. I see.
Again, a lot of iconic characters. Was able to really galvanize a different demographic and try to point to other... The show has been... Obviously, it's funny, but it also points to social ills, and it talks about politics, and it's kind of been... It's kind of dictated discussion a lot in the country, and Chris Rock was another one of those characters that was able to do that through NatX and some of the characters that he was able to portray. But again, Chris Rock was another one of those guys who did not ever seem to have an ego that would tell him, I'm too good to play this character.
Mm-hmm.
He would do whatever he was asked to do. And of course, he has been a star for a long time since, but that was a great career, and he's just another one of those guys that was responsible for why I watched the show. And again, he was only on the show from 90 to 93, but it feels like he was on there forever because of the stuff that he was able to do.
Next up, you tell me if this is an illegal move, but I'm going this more for what he did on screen as opposed to just Weekend Update when he first started. I'm going to go, and I still like this guy a lot, even in some shitty roles he's been in lately. I'm going to go with Kevin Nealon.
You just broke my heart with that one, because that was who I wanted for my update desk.
Yes!
Woo! No, it's not.
Gotham Rogue,
I understand, because I said there was one guy who did branch out, and that was Nealon. And he was awfully funny, and I'll give you that one.
You like the sauce, huh?
Yeah. I won't be taking that guy. It's not that I dislike him, but...
Come on. Everyone likes the sauce, huh?
See, now it gets tougher. There's so many great people, and there's not all that many spots. I was looking at this. Let's be a good breather real quick. The guys I'd forgotten were ever on the show. I didn't know Rob Riggle was on the show for a year. There's if you look, Damon Wayans was on the show for a year. Mm-hmm. There's just some, Ben Stiller was on the show for a year. There's just like some random people that you wouldn't expect. Obviously they're not going to make this list, but
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. And I love him to death.
Oh man. The guy that played, David Kochner,
David Koechner.
Ugh. He was on that show for a year?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not something you would really expect.
Ugh. When he had hair, too.
Oh, man. See, it's getting difficult now.
Molly Shannon!
Stop.
Joe Piscopo!
Here we go. I'm going to go with a guy who was on the show for 9 years, who a lot of people would overlook and go with other people right here. And I'm going to leave somebody open...
Chris Elliott. You want Chris Elliott?
No, and I want to try and forget he was ever on there. Not that I dislike Chris Elliott, but I don't like Chris Elliott. No, he's just weird, man. He's strange. Everything in. From Get a Life to Everybody Loves Raymond. This guy really has not had a career, per se, outside of this show and the movie that spawned from the show. But... He's a guy who was in so many different skits.
Oh, God, you're going to say Tim Meadows, aren't you?
Indeed, I'm taking Tim
Meadows. Damn it!
Not just because of...
Yeah, what's happening?
Yeah, but Perspectives with Lionel Osborne at 4:53 in the a.m., which is the way I signed off my first ever radio DJ shift last year. But that guy, he played bit roles in some stuff, and he was able to star in other things. And I just thought he was so versatile and talented, and that guy makes my list.
You made it exact point that he's very versatile. He can adapt any scene to me.
Definitely.
Like he feels in like one of my favorite scenes ever is one with Ferrell, him and Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
And you've seen it because I made you watch it. The whole like
Orange Julius thing.
Leo. Leo and the Orange Julius.
Yeah.
He's like, what's his problem? Oh yeah, see, this used to be an Orange Julius, and then we found Leon when he was here, and he was on the floor with a cup of nails trying to sell me a cup of Orange Julius. And, you know, just he's a nice guy. Just kind of go with him. He's like, okay. And Ferrell's like, okay, I like to buy this computer. No, you don't want this computer for this, it's for gays. So Stallone just playing like a dumb wit.
Yeah.
He's like, excuse me? He's like, yeah, you don't want that. you want this Star Trek looking machine here. You know, you put in some money and then it gives you some chips. That's a vending machine. He's like, sir, is there something I can help you with? Yeah. He's trying to buy the Star Trek machine. Sir, we don't sell the vending machine. I'm not trying to buy the vending machine. It's just so stupid, but it's funny. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's my random knowledge going to nowhere.
We'll post the link.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna go with everyone's favorite big man.
I know. This is where I was going next, so I saw this coming from a mile away. Go ahead.
Because you know that he loves living in a van.
Beverly Hills Ninja.
Down by the river, Mr. Christopher Farley.
R.I.P.
Rest in peace. Yes.
Yes. Nope.
Need to talk about why he needs to be on either one of our lists?
No.
Okay.
Because he was iconic. Think about the Chippendale sketch with Patrick. The Chippendale sketch with Patrick Swayze.
Oh my God!
And just again, another versatile guy who had no problem being completely nuts. Apparently, he was that way off screen too when he was depression and all the things that led to his demise. But in terms of pure funny and pure talent on screen, hard to go better. And yeah, energy is the perfect word for it. Hard to do much better than Chris Farley.
It was one thing that I've always noticed. If you watch carefully in the old skits, like whenever Farley's on screen, he is literally going apeshit. It's hard for people in the background in the same school to not lose their mind because of his physical comedy, his just over-exaggeration many a times. I mean, for a viewer, it's also obviously astounding out loud to laugh, laugh out loud too. So,
right.
Again, you know, rest in peace. I was actually just talking about Chris Farley's last movie role the other day, the Almost Heroes with him and Matthew Perry.
Wow.
And how when that movie was wrapping up, that was right when he had passed, and they had to finish the rest of the movie with his brother, Kevin Farley, and had to do him up with some makeup, some digital effects to kind of make him look more like Chris. But, you know, it's sad. And, you know, someone, another big man, too, which may or may not be listed, you know, between the two of us, might as well be mentioned, John Belushi.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the first, to me, you know, big man comedy on Saturday Night Live. Which people just
Samurai
love.
Chef and
oh yeah,
yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, he might make the list. I certainly was thinking about him, but I'm going with another woman here. Somebody who is another one who could star and she could also play background roles, and was so good for such a long time doing it. Is Anna Gasteyer?
Damn it, that was Celine Dion, man. Celine Dion,
delicious dish.
You know, with your sweaty balls.
Yeah, exactly. The skits with Ferrell, the song, the singing group, and all the things that she did, to me, she was the epitome of what a sketch comedy person should be, where she could lead or she could follow, depending on the situation. A lot of the people that I'm picking are people I find to be versatile, where they could lead or they could sit in the background and be funny with the two lines they had for that sketch. Mm. Nobody was... It didn't feel like that they had to have so much time to pull off what they did, and Anna was the epitome of that for me. So her and Wig is maybe the two females I put on here. Maybe I'll put a third. I think I will, actually. I think I'm well represented there.
Next up, the Gotham Rogues.
Damn it.
In the seventh round. This is when you got to start building that foundation. This is where you got to get your linemen and your core. I'm going to take, you know what? This is kind of maybe a wild card, but no matter what, I still laugh out loud and most of his shit. Tracy Morgan.
That's a good pick.
I gotta go with Tracy Morgan. I love Tracy Morgan. Just Brian Fellow, Safari Planet.
Doodoo Brown. Or Doodoo, wasn't Doodoo Brown. It was a Doodoo Pie. Catch a Doodoo Pie. Astronaut Jones.
Astronaut Jones. Yeah. Word. Dig. Would you get your ass out of them jeans? Let me slap that fat ass.
Tracy Morgan is just funny, period. He's just a funny guy.
Yeah, he lived to be on that show to me. I remember watching his stand-up a couple years back where he talks about where he got the audition, he got on the show, and he's going back to his neighborhood in Harlem. He's like, yo, I made it! I made it outside live, and everyone through the windows listening to him, they go, yo, we made it! We made our side live! And they're like, me? Aw, shit. So, and he too, like, there's something about him, he's got the similarity to Will Ferrell, where no matter what stupidness they're saying or acting off, like, they don't break. Like, he's got that still face of, like, I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. And just,
he's,
I remember
the
one,
anti-Horatio Sands, who will not be making this list.
Or Jimmy Fallon. Respectfully, yeah. You know, I like Jimmy Fallon as a host. He's not on the show. But, I remember it was Garth Brooks when he was going through the whole Chris Gaines thing.
Yep.
And Chris Gaines was the musical host, and Garth Brooks was the host of the show.
Yeah.
That was whatever reason was stupid. But it's backstage, and Garth Brooks is himself, and Tracy Morgan comes up to him. He's like, yo, Garth, what's up, man? Hey, man, I heard we got Chris Gaines on the show. Yeah. Yo, man, my man sucks, right? He's like, what? He's like, yo,
I remember that.
Yeah, he's like, God, I cannot stand that guy. Man, he just rips people off. He's like, no, I think he's a unique individual. He expresses, like, no, he kind of fat, too, don't you think? And he's like, no, I think he's looking in good shape. Yeah. Yo, so my boys told me, man, one of my cousins told me that, yo, man, he plays with the other team, if you know what I'm saying. He's like, no, whoa. And then Lorne Michaels comes over, like, trying to separate them. Like, is it Tracy really didn't know if that was, like, Garth and Chris Gaines was the same person, just playing it off? Tracy Morgan takes his hand, like, takes Lorne Michaels' hands off, and he's like, yo, give me a grape soda, bitch! And then Lorne just walks off to go get him a grape soda, and that's all it is. Oh, I love Tracy Morgan. Sorry.
Just pure funny. Just understands comedy timing and just goes out there and loses his mind. And it is always funny.
I guess you got to get Finesse Mitchell next.
Tough call, but I'm going to pass.
Aw.
This is when it gets tough for me because there's a lot of guys I'd like to take right here, but I only have a few spots to go.
A lot of guys like to take, huh?
Yeah, real funny. I'm going to take one of the anchors in the very early years, one of the anchors of the show. I can't take my boy, one of my other heroes, because he wasn't as big a part of this show as he would become after that when I sent my first letter to him in 1984, and either he or his agent sent something back. Whatever. It was signed Bill Murray. So I'm not going to pick Bill because he wasn't known as much for this as he was for what would come after. But Dan Aykroyd was, and I'm taking Dan Aykroyd.
These wild and too crazy guys.
Yeah, I mean, you had that.
With the bulges.
And, of course, Coneheads.
Oh, yeah.
Which was incredibly important to the early stages of that show, along with Jane Curtin. Aykroyd's just, again, just another guy who was born to do this kind of show, and he was great.
Did you just spoiler on who you may take next?
No.
Jane Curtin?
No, but I like Jane Curtin a lot. But, no, Aykroyd stands on his own. And to me, he's the guy that stands out along with John Belushi as the two most important features of the early years. There were a lot of different guys, but like Chevy, I never really saw Chevy.
Chevy was on there for 1 year, right?
Yeah, it was very short. And some of the other guys did the same kind of thing. And there were certain Brad Hall and Julia Louis-Dreyfus and all these people were really good. But Aykroyd was there for the first 4 years of the show when it was just getting off, and he was able to create some iconic characters and moments. And Wild and Crazy and Coneheads stick out as two of the more important skits the show's ever had. Coneheads was responsible for, was it the first movie or was Wayne's World first that came from Saturday Night Live?
I thought it was Wayne's World.
I can't remember.
I know Wayne's World was probably the most popular.
Yeah.
Definitely better than, what was that one recently? What's his name?
MacGruber?
MacGruber?
MacGruber was hilarious.
But did it do well compared to Wayne's World? Is it a hit? No. But that's high standards, though, so I can't really speak.
In terms of money, Wayne's World wins in a walk. But anyway, Dan Aykroyd, easy pick for me. There you go.
Let's see. I got Ferrell, Hammond, Murphy. So my mid 90s is covered, late 90s is covered, early 2000s, Tracy Morgan is covered, Eddie Murphy covers early mid 80s, Faye covers early 2000s, Nealon covers late 80s, Farley's early 90s, Morgan early 2000s. So I'm, except for like maybe the early, maybe some more early 80s than 70s, I pretty much covered almost most of my decades. Mm-hmm. So here I'm going to go comfortably, and I think I will go with, oh, fuck, it's a coin toss between these two. I'm going to go with Bill Hader.
Ah, you son of a bitch. I thought I'd get away with another round without taking him. Because he's my second favorite person, I think, that was ever on the show.
Well, you couldn't pick him in the first seven.
Because I didn't think he would go early, and I was trying to be strategic about it.
You thought I was stupid.
No, I just didn't know if you were as big a fan, but it doesn't matter either way. Obviously, this whole thing's about discussing the best people who've ever been on the show, and Hader to me is the spiritual successor in a lot of ways to Dana Carvey. Because Dana Carvey used to be the game show host all the time. That's what Hader does now. Mm-hmm. Hader does a lot of the impressions and things like that, but he's so good at virtually everything I've ever seen him do on that show that I will rue the day that he finally leaves. I am not looking forward to that at all.
To me, you said it best a couple weeks back when we were talking about him. That you said he's today's generation of Jim Carrey.
Yeah, absolutely. Unequivocally, without even having to think about it. Very much so. Maybe a little bit more grounded.
Mm-hmm.
and hasn't been able to parlay it into past Saturday Night Live success, but he's still got a long life ahead of him. But he's a good Oklahoma City Thunder man, and he's just – I love him, man. Can't get enough of Bill Hader on screen. Think he's just fantastic. So that's an excellent pick and really hurt my feelings.
Oh, well. You got Randy Quaid.
I'm taking Adam Sandler.
Fuck, come on! Come on!
That's right. It was Hader or Sandler, and you took Hader. One of the most important things that has come from Saturday Night Live in the last 20 years is
Opperman?
Song parodies.
Oh.
And the Hanukkah song. And the Thanksgiving song and all those things. One of the first jokes that you and I ever did when we were managing together in retail was we did that. Now give me some candy.
I'm crazy unicorn bar. Give me some candy.
Sandler.
I'm crazy newspaper face man. Read all about me. Now give me some candy.
Sandler could take over the scene or he could sit in the background. Again, he was able to do both, but he was able to be one of the Gap girls. Or he was able to sit back and be being yelled at by Matt Foley as one of the kids. Like, it could be different things for Sandler either way.
That's a perfect example. You just reminded me of what I said earlier about Chris Farley, how when he goes apeshit on the screen for fun, it's yeah. Sandler and Spade and Schneider who just sit there and laugh. And to me, like, it's not like Jimmy Fallon where it's embarrassing because no. Fallon's laughing at his own lines and can't deliver his own lines.
They were laughing at the character.
Yeah, because Farley is just, he's insane.
Yeah.
Damn it, that hurts me so much because you know how much I love Adam Sandler.
Well, if you had taken him, then I would have taken Bill Hader. I
mean, because people still don't respect, granted, you have a lot to light this bonfire with when I say this. Don't respect him for some of the stuff he's done. Granted, Zohan and Jack and Jill and some other stuff recently. That's My Boy, I'm sure, is not that great. Whatever. Doesn't really stand my argument. But for those who haven't seen it and who may be hesitant about it, and I know I talked you into it and you had no regrets about it, Rain Over Me
is great.
A very good movie with him and Don Cheadle.
And Liv Tyler.
Yes, Liv Tyler. Very well done movie, and it shows a deep side of Sandler, and it's well worth watching, especially for gamers out there too who understand what he's doing.
Yeah, Shadow Colossus, man.
Man, all right,
That's right. How does that one taste?
Taste this. I'm going to take Chris Parnell.
I love that, man. I love that Chris Parnell pick, not just because of Cyril.
Cyril Figgis. Parnell is just he to me too has he has multiple personalities and he's versed, and even with whatever hatred there is someone in Norm Macdonald towards Lorne Michaels and why he got fired back in 2001, you can't deny his draw appeal and his talent and what he can produce, and he works well with everyone. He makes to me like the cast. He's like a glue during the late 90s and early 2000s. Like, he fits in a lot of scenes and he goes well, and it just makes sense why he was on the show.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So eat that.
That one hurts, man. I like Chris Parnell a lot. One of the funniest things that happened on this year's Saturday Night Live was the last episode when Parnell came back and did that double rap with Andy Samberg.
Lazy Sunday, too.
Shirt. It was awesome. Yeah, for short. The Lazy Sunday thing was awesome. It was funny the first time, and it was still funny this time. Chris Parnell's that guy who also could play deadpan.
Mm-hmm.
And could be doing it while saying some of the most outlandish stuff you'd ever hear pretty much anybody ever say. Guy was just hilarious.
He's good, too, like being that guy in the background who's like basically getting stepped on or insulted on. He just takes it. Like, just doesn't break. It's just funny. He plays that, like, lovable loser. Speaking of lovable, you should totally take Chris Elliott.
Stop.
He's come
like
on.
Cougar of this draft.
You gotta take your last pick as an irrelevant pick. The last pick, let's see, what are we on? We're on, this is 9?
No,
you know what? I say we take, no, this is 10, right? Because we all, 9 apiece. This is guy. Oh, did we make it worth it? Or did we make it irrelevant? Which one? You said 10 is
we're
what the number
the
was.
We're picking the best 10. We're not making.
I'm willing to do 10 and then one irrelevant, and
all
then
right,
the musical guest and the favorite host and all that stuff.
The anchors.
Anchors, yes. 10 and then one just random ass pick. Come on.
Yeah.
All right, go.
I'm taking
10th pick.
I'm taking Amy Poehler.
Shit.
Again, versatile. Again, was able to play some crazy-ass characters. But she also did update, kind of the same way Kevin Nealon did. I didn't think about the fact that her and Fallon both also were update anchors that did a whole lot of skits as well. So,
I think in the most recent generation, that's what it's been about, is just bringing more to it than just the anchor stuff.
Except Seth Meyers, who's the head writer, so he doesn't do any skits. He just anchors.
Yeah.
Which is fine, and he's awesome. But, yeah, I'm going to take Amy Poehler because I think she was also – it was between her and Maya right here because they both fit the requirement I wanted for my show, which was I wanted a third female character that was very competent to go on and just knock it out of the park either on her own or even in scenes with guys, she could completely take it over. And I think that Wig – Gasteyer and Poehler, all three were capable of doing that, so I have no problem taking Amy here.
Well, add this to the list, and I was really tussling back and forth between her and Sherry O'Terry, but I think for the good of my own show, I'm going to go with the very talented Maya Rudolph.
Yeah, it's she's great. She really is, and I was also looking at Jan Hooks, who I really like. But Maya and Amy are obviously really close friends and did a whole lot on screen together, but Maya... I didn't love her when it seemed like when she was on the show, and then when she left, I realized how good she really was. And then when she came back and hosted this year, it was just amazing, and it just reminded me how talented she is.
Yeah, and she's doing great on the Up All Night show.
Yep.
And she just played so many different characters of so many different – well, and she plays it all too. She plays the different races because she can pull it off.
Yep.
Kind of like – and I'll say this in a honorable mention – I really wanted to pick between Fred Armisen and David Spade.
Yep, agreed. I was going to say, if we had honorable mention, Armisen was on that list for me. There were a couple others that stood out. I'd have to think for just a second. Spade, man, Hollywood Update, Hollywood Minute was one of the most consistently funny things that show ever did. And I felt like that he just got better and better at being who he was as the show continued to grow. So, yeah, I would agree. Yeah, pretty much. But, yeah.
I mean, that's what it was, and he did a fantastic job. Molly Shannon definitely, you know, deserves to be an honorable mention, I think.
Most of these people were incredibly talented. There's only a select few that I never really found to be all that good. But, like...
Keenan Thompson!
I like Keenan, actually. But Jason Sudeikis is somebody that's grown on me a lot.
Sudeikis is really good.
And he was on there for 7 years, and he probably is done. I think that he actually is going to walk away and move on. But he's another one of those guys who could play straight and not crack and be nuts. Stop. I'll take Griselli. You take Janine Garofalo.
No. How about I take Dennis Miller so I can take that doll back?
No, that ain't happening.
Oh, come on. For those of you who don't know, I don't know. Has it been like 5 years now?
It's been a minute, man.
Oh, man. I randomly was just walking around Big Lots and just happened to stumble upon in the toy section a talking Dennis Miller doll. And I decided to get it for my co-host here. which I'm sure is still sitting on a bookshelf somewhere in a box.
That whole hero list, there's actually three people from Saturday Night Live on that list. Phil Hartman, Dennis Miller, Bill Murray.
Nice. Jim Brewer, I think, is an honorable mention. I think he had times. Goat Boy. I mean.
Yeah. John Lovitz, to me, was really funny a lot on that show. Jan Hooks, again, I said that I had a hard time not taking her. She was phenomenal. Julia Sweeney was somebody I really liked.
I almost picked up Chris Kattan just so I can have the Night of the Roxbury guys, but I was like, yeah, no.
I think Will Forte was really funny.
Will Forte, Rob Schneider is a legend to me.
Just some of the stuff that Rob Schneider did was funny. Like, a lot of people want to hate on Rob Schneider, but they just need to calm down.
Nah, man. In the good old days, Schneider was the man on that show. He was part of, like, to me, the big three during the early 90s with Chris Rock would have been, you know, Spader,
Sandler and Schneider.
Farley. Schneider, to me, would have been like a Rajon Rondo. Okay. Like, I'm saying, like, those are the big three, and he helped support, you know, because he's, like, in those scenes, too. Victoria Jackson was really good, too, back in her heyday.
Everybody dislikes her now because she's outspoken politically.
And she's just annoying.
But on the right, and a lot of people don't like her for that. But, yeah, I thought she was funny.
Speaking of the anchor guys. Oh, wait, we're about to do anchors right now, right?
Let's do Mr. Irrelevant first. Because I want to rip this guy with every fiber of my being.
That means he's on your team, then.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
Go ahead, do it.
But he's relevant, like.
He's irrelevant, meaning he's on your team, so take him.
All right, all right, we'll take an irrelevant person, and then we'll irrelevant in terms of, like, overall scheme, but maybe somebody really talented, and then we'll take.
Or irrelevant, and then
hatred pick.
Like, you pick that person, that irrelevant person you pick is on my team, then I pick you an irrelevant person. How's that?
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's go. Dude, who am I getting?
You're getting Horatio Sands.
Fuck you! I don't want that son of a bitch. Come on.
He's my least favorite person that was ever on Saturday Night Live, by far.
No, the current Horatio Sands is my least favorite person.
Bob Moynihan, he's actually pretty talented outside of Saturday Night Live. He's done more stuff recently.
Yeah, on Live, though, he just does the same thing over and over. He's that creepy dude who stares at you. I can't stand that.
Drunk Uncle is hilarious, and he's done some other bit roles that I think are funny. I'll take Bobby Moynihan in a heartbeat, and you can have Horatio Sands. Horatio Sands couldn't get through any skit without laughing at his own jokes. And they weren't even all that funny to begin with. And to me, he's the most unprofessional person I've ever seen on that show. And I cannot stand watching him try to get through skits. Or even, I think eventually it became funny for them to start laughing at their own stuff all the time. And to me, that was hugely disrespectful. So he's going on your team.
You think at this point I would throw Chris Elliott at you for all the
jokes? You already gave me Bobby Moynihan.
No, I didn't.
I thought you just said, I get that guy.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
You think I would throw Chris Elliott at you. You think I would throw Jeanine Garofalo at you because of the ways you hate her.
Yeah.
Or Victoria Jackson. But I'm not going to go there. I'm going to take the high road.
She's on the right.
What's that?
Victoria Jackson's conservative. I'm saying that's why a lot of people don't like her now.
All things that you didn't like
her. Liberal sensibilities, they all dislike her because she's been outspokenly conservative since she left the show.
My apologies. And you think I would, you know, satisfy you and give you Nancy Walls, who I've had a huge crush on.
Too, man. I loved her when she was there. Well, loved her.
I'm going to give you the wild card, a guy who was only on the show for 12 episodes.
You can't do that.
Huh?
You can't give me somebody who was barely on the show.
Hey, he was on the show. It counts. He is full cast credit on the show.
Oh, I know who you're going to give me. Al fucking Franken, aren't you?
No.
Thank God.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, he didn't even come to mind. Hold on. Wait a minute. Nope, I still won't do that for you. I actually was going to go a completely different route, but man, you got me tempted to give you him. How about I give you Mr. Gilbert Godfrey?
I like Gil.
You're fine. I was hoping you
would. Out of that, I'm happy about that.
Fine, you get Al Franken.
No, I'm taking Gilbert. You already gave me Gilbert Gottfried. I'm not taking Senator Al Franken.
Oh.
Ever.
Well, since you have him on your team, you can talk all good about Gilbert Gottfried. Go ahead.
Problem child. Problem child 2. Problem child 3.
Mickey Mouse on acid!
The Comedy Central roasts. Only thing I don't like about him, well, there's a lot of things I don't like about him. He's kind of disgusting.
But
he was talented and he knew what would make him money. Horatio Sanz is just a complete joke and a disgrace to Saturday Night Live.
He's not doing anything nowadays. I'm not mistaken.
He was on one episode of SNL this year.
Sure he's not like your host at Golden Corral?
Yeah, really. No Golden Corrals here.
All right, so we got our irrelevant. Are we doing anchors? We're doing anchors. So, anchors, you go.
You took my favorite.
You want to trade for them?
No, because I'd have to give up something else, and I like them all.
I like my team, too, but I'm willing to trade just to make it fun. I'm a team player, thank you.
I'm giving them a bunch of fun.
Eddie Murphy's on the trading block. Come on. Ooh, see, that's tempting.
Let's see. I don't have a choice.
I'll trade you.
I don't have a choice. There's anchors that I really like that are from.
You're going Norm MacDonald.
No, but I thought a lot of what he said was hilarious. I really like Poehler. I liked Faye. I even liked Fallon when he did it. I love Seth Meyers, but I'm taking my boy Dennis Miller.
No.
I mean, I have to. Mm-hmm. And I can have him and Amy Poehler do a two-man update desk. And I think that would work out well. Just like you could have Kevin Nealon and Tina Fey.
Well, then I'm going with... Well, that's hard, because yeah, it's either Colin Quinn or Norm MacDonald. I think I'm going to go with Norm MacDonald.
Colin Quinn, what am I, a pineapple? No.
Oh, Norm. Which, man, that man was hated. That man is still hated, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, like, he just played to it. Like, when a joke wasn't funny, he just stared. But he had one of the funniest recurring bits ever, which was he would just finish the joke and go, "You guessed it, Frank Stallone," and show a picture of Sly Stallone's brother with a mullet.
Well, here's the thing. With the cast that I have, that means I can do Celebrity Jeopardy because I have Farrell, Hammond, and Norm MacDonald as Burt Reynolds.
Believe me, I thought about it, and that is my favorite ever, and you just broke it for me. And you get the tic-tac-toe skit with Norm, which still to this day cracks me up every time.
I get cookie dough sport. Love hurts.
Yeah.
Yep. I got the Adobe car.
Oh, man. I thought Phil Hartman did the Adobe.
Mm-mm. I think that was Farrell.
That might be. Maybe.
Are we going to bottle a musical guest?
You take one. We each take one.
Oh, so I get to go on this round?
Yeah, you can go first this time.
Justin Timberlake.
All right, good call. I was thinking.
Because I can have Omelaville.
Yeah, but he's...
Bring her down to Omelaville.
More like Liquorville. That was the funniest.
Bring her down to Liquorville.
Just him overall. He was... I was going to take him as a host. Because we're going to take three hosts apiece. But, all right, I'll take Paul Simon, not only because he hosted several times also, but because he embodied New York for Saturday Night Live for so long. He's on pretty regularly all the time. His music's always good. It's always, like, tone-specific to what it should be for that kind of show. It doesn't upstage things. It isn't some elaborate production. It's just good music. And when it ends, it's always just a wild applause, and the guy has no problem being in skits, so I'll take Paul Simon.
Now, we're doing hosts. Are we talking about maybe ex-cast members as well?
It could be, but it can't be people we've already named.
No, it wouldn't be like, I choose Maya Rudolph again, or if I didn't choose Maya Rudolph, I would say Maya Rudolph just to round it out. No.
Like, it's not going to be Mike Myers or whatever.
No. Well, he's already second on the board. Yeah, but that's okay. So you go first on the host then.
I'm taking Alec Baldwin.
Damn it.
Not because of the sweaty stuff, but just all the stuff he did when he was on there.
No, but he and the two other people I want to mention here in a second, they have the two highest amounts of hosting in the history of Saturday Night Live.
I think I know the guy you're going to take, and that's the guy that I almost took.
Well, one would be Steve Martin, and the other one would be Tom Hanks.
This is the one I thought you would take, and that's who I had thought about taking.
I really love Tom Hanks. Both respectively. And I remember the skit was when Hanks did his 15th time or 10th time, something like that, like hosting, he entered the club. And it was like he goes to his back smoking lounge with a jacket.
That was during the monologue.
Yeah, it was like Steve Martin's back there smoking a pipe and Alec Baldwin. They're all hanging out and they're being served by the cast on live at the time.
This year, I think they had, during the Lindsay Lohan-ish episode, she was like, "This is my second time, blah, blah, blah." And Tom Hanks came on. He's like, "Yeah, big deal."
Yeah, like, that's all he did.
They did like a big deal where he had been on it forever and he was trying to show her how it should really be done. And not sure it was Lohan, but it was somebody this year, and it was funny. But so are you taking Hanks? Is that right?
I would say this. if I want to go with Prisoner in the Moment, recent events, John Hamm is insanely wonderful on that show.
Sure is.
Absolutely. He like the Kristen Wiggs like last go around was just hysterical. Basically. He just pops up in random scenes.
It's because he's such a cool guy and so down to earth and so willing to be a part of something he likes. And yeah, he's great.
And people forget, like, 12 years ago, he was nowhere near Hollywood. He was a drama teacher at a college in St. Louis.
Yeah. So, did you take Tom Hanks?
No, I'm actually going to go with Steve Martin.
Okay.
I think Steve Martin, to me, is iconic for being on that show and being a good host. And he brings that, I don't know, like, to me, I would get more of an urge to watch Saturday Night Live if I was like, oh, next week, Steve Martin comes on the show. I'm like, holy shit. Like, when the same episode again, I'm going to mention, Kristen Wiig's finale, when he came out of nowhere for the Californians.
Yep.
Like, I got out of my seat and was like, grr!
Steve Martin's one of those people that I will shed tears the day he dies. I was watching, it's funny we talk about him now. I watched Sergeant Bilko on Friday again. Right. I hadn't watched it in a long time. It's got him and Aykroyd and Phil Hartman in it. Mm-hmm. And you just think about the talent. And we could do a whole podcast on Steve Martin films. Just like so many things. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is one of the five funniest movies probably ever.
Yeah,
but he's done amazing. He did Father of the Bride. Those were great. He did everything he touched forever. The Jerk is one of the all-timers as well, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Man Who Had Two Brains. Just, he did so many good things. And it's funny, he was never really a regular cast member on Saturday Night Live. But he was so important when he was on that people often think he was. That's how good he was as a host when he was on.
He just, I mean, you tell me one person who, I mean, Tom Hanks, if he was on there, yeah, I would probably watch him. I wouldn't get excited. And Steve Martin just is just so talented in so many ways. In the way he holds himself. And he can just kind of go along with any skit. And to me, to this day, like, just like him being in the studio would just freak me out. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how bad some of those movies are, you forget those and you just remember some of the legends. Even the ones that, like, you just kind of...
Well, if his movies are bad, it was never because of his performance. You see just pure talent exude from him.
And everyone has a bad movie or two in their repertoire. I mean...
We will do that podcast.
Cheaper by a Dozen 2. Whatever. It made money. Go fuck yourself. You know?
Yeah.
But, I mean... Pink Panther 2, whatever. It made money. Go fuck yourself. Shop Girl, very underrated.
Yep.
You know, Bowfinger was actually funny at times when I saw it when I was younger.
Yeah.
Yes. Bilko, like you said. Father Bride, you were in the L.A. Story.
Yeah, L.A. Story is very good. He was the other thing.
Roxanne, Three Amigos, just in my heart.
Three Amigos was a classic for me growing up. The other thing about him is he was able to play serious. He played a pure evil villain in David Mamet's The Spanish Prisoner, which is a tremendous film. And that was about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. Actually, it was longer than that. It was about 8 or 9 years ago. And he played just pure sadistic evil. And it was beyond believable.
And he kind of like what we were talking about him. They're both just such good sports.
Yep.
It doesn't matter how shitty or just lame or corny or campy the skit that he's involved in, or how short it is. You know, like the Californians. It was like maybe, 10 seconds tops he was on screen?
Yep.
And it was just him just with a wig, just, oh my God, dude, yeah. That's all it was, and that's all you need. All
right, so that's one host, still two to go. And I'm going to surprise you because we were just sitting here talking about Steve Martin and Tom Hanks. I said I was thinking about taking Steve Martin, or taking Tom Hanks second. But I'm not, or I was going to think about taking him first, but I'm not. I'm going to take a wild card because of just some memorable moments and just another one of those funny guys and just nuts is Christopher Walken.
I mean, please stay for some champagne.
Everybody, yeah, exactly. Everybody's going to talk about more cowbell, and they should.
I got a fever,
and the only prescription is more cowbell. Look, I get it, but the Continental is what gets him on my list, and that's champagne. That skit and Trivial Psychic, Ed Glosser, Trivial Psychic, when he would just sit there and he would like grab somebody by the arm and be like, you're going to buy coffee and you're going to get in a cab and the cab's going to take you downtown and you're going to get out of the cab and what, I'm going to die? No, but you're going to leave your coffee in the cab and lose that $1.50.
Like, I like the
awesome.
I can't remember which one exactly, but I like the monologue where basically he's making fun of himself. And he's like, people ask if I'm up here and I'm just reading the cue cards. And he just, like, his eyes just pander over for, like, a few seconds. He's like, no, I don't read the cue cards. It's just so stupid. What? I mean, this is just, yeah, like you said, the whole cowbell thing. I mean, you find shirts with that still. And it's been, like, almost 15 years since then.
I have the shirt.
Oh, okay, Exhibit A.
Yeah.
You know what? I want to go with somebody... Who, man.
See, take Hanks.
I know. Hanks or John Hammond, I will say this. I want to mention one honorable host, and then I will take between Hanks and Ham as I think about it. I will go with, I want to say this. John Goodman.
Yeah, that's great. I love
thought that. Of a second ago. And again, just one of the, he felt like he belongs on the show. Did it not?
Yep.
Like when he was on there with like Ackroyd for a little bit, I mean, it just blended in really well, as if it was supposed to be done that way.
He hosted 11 years in a row.
Damn.
That is a feat that deserves mention.
One more honorable mention because I love his sense of humor in life anyway, and I love his skit, Peyton Manning. And I just
well, we've got three hosts, so don't name everybody that was great.
Okay, fine.
Because we might want to take these people.
I want to go with John Hamm.
All right.
And I hate doing that with Tom Hanks, but I love, like I said, everything we already said about John Hamm. He can be in digital shorts.
Yeah, no, he's great.
You know, he can be on skits, and you know, he doesn't break character, and he's so over the top. I mean, one of my favorite skits I've seen in the past couple of years was the live action Ambiguously Gay Duo.
Yep, it's awesome.
Where he plays Ace.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Fallon plays Gary. What? Yeah. What's everyone looking at? Nothing.
Well, whichever one you didn't take is who I was going to take for my third and final, and that I will take Tom Hanks.
Fine.
He was on it forever. He was self-deprecating when he had to be. He was there before he was a huge star and was just brilliant every single time he was on it. And he and Carrie are responsible for the two funniest Roxbury skits of all time, I would say. Hanks' Roxbury skit was unbelievable, and Jim Carrey's was as well.
Actually, Jim Carrey was the person I was going to wait for my last one, so thanks for mentioning that. Jim Carrey is who I'm going to take for the Roxbury thing, the Ride the Snake.
The lifeguard skit's my favorite.
And I remember, too, and I was actually watching the Roxbury skit. I actually posted that skit on my Facebook, actually, like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And you know how, like, the Farrell and Catan, they bob their heads? Carrie does it in such a weird way when he's doing his part of the skit. He's, like, sliding his head, like, as if his neck has, like, no bones in it. And it looks like Quagmire off Family Guy. It's so, so funny. And, I remember they did, most recently, when he was on there last year, they were making fun of, like, 80s infomercials of songs.
Yeah,
and he's like all dressed up corny and cheesy with a mustache and his hairdo up high, and he's singing for like 40 seconds. You can, I think, still find it on YouTube before they pull it off, like NBC always does with their skits mostly. And he's singing, girl, we've been together
such
a long, long time. And he says something like, into my heart, cast see one today.
Yeah.
Just one titty. I just want to see your titties, girl. Like, what the fuck is that?
All right, so those six hosts, Alec Baldwin, Steve Martin, Chris Walken, John Hamm, Tom Hanks, Jim Carrey, with smattering of John Goodman in honorable mention. That's awfully good. Plus, already named Justin Timberlake, who may have been on my list if you hadn't taken him for a musical guest. He's only been on it. He's only hosted it twice, but they've been two of the best episodes of the last decade. So the final thing we're going to do is pick. We're just going to name out. If you could only have one skit, whether it's recurring, whatever, ever in the history of the show, what would you take? What's your favorite skit ever? And these can be the same, if indeed they have to be.
Oh, my God, favorite skit.
I mean, it's hard to do. There's so many great things about Saturday Night Live, and I'm in the process, after I finish Top of the Rock, of finally reading Live from New York, which I look forward to as well. Similar in style to the way Top of the Rock is done. So maybe I'll be able to speak to that in a couple of weeks, but... it's embarrassing to only be able to name one skit here, Well, we're going to do it for the interest of time so we can get out of here. But Saturday Night Live is a show that has had more impact on me than I even thought. A lot of times you don't even think about how much impact it has until you realize how many references you make on a daily basis, even just inside your own mind when you see something that reminds you of something that happened on that show. And it's unbelievable. And the careers that it has sparked it's a staggering statistic.
I would say this, and overall, and I hate this because it's on your list, I love, this is embarrassing. I like Wayne's World, but you have Wayne's World on your list.
Well, you have mine on your list, so.
And that would be?
What would be your favorite is Wayne's World?
Jeopardy.
Yep, Celebrity Jeopardy.
I wish they would do that, continually still, but, you know, just. God, they could you think if they had the right people, they could still do it? Or should they even do it? Or do you think Ferrell just made it that? Harold and Ferrell.
I want to say they tried a couple of years ago. It's one I haven't seen yet that was just released or something. I think Keenan was part of it. And
Like I said,
I think Keenan's funny, but I think Ferrell did his role.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you did it with the right people, it could still be funny, but there's something about that time frame and the recurring Burt Reynolds and the recurring Sean Connery, and then my favorite one still being French Stewart.
Oh, he's like squinting.
Particular episode, not the performance of French Stewart, but just that particular one was the one when Burt Reynolds put the oversized hat on
out of nowhere. Hat.
It's a funny hat. It's a big hat. It's funny. No, it's not. Yeah, sure it is. It's funny because it's too big for your head. That's great, Bert. Go back to your day. That was the Turd Ferguson one.
Michael Keaton, you guessed Val Kilmer sucks.
And you wagered.
And you wagered.
He sucks.
I'm Batman.
Yeah. For the last time, no, you were not. No, that was one of the better one-liners from Ferrell, who was always brilliant in these skits, was to Keanu Reeves when he said, "I know Kung Fu." For the last time, no, you don't.
Like, he was like, "I want to put a gun in my mouth."
Going home and putting a gun in my mouth.
And John Travolta, you guessed, as your favorite food, miso. Oh my God. He got one. It's an Italian soup. Oh, well, very well done. And you wagered horny.
Miso horny. Absolutely brilliant. Sandler was funny when Jimmy Fallon was doing Adam Sandler.
I'll take the rapist.
I'll take the rapist for $600. It's not the rapist, it's therapist.
I'll take ape.
Give me ape tit.
Tit for $1,000. I'll take Eshwarge.
That was actually
Shorge.
Yeah, that was like, take sword saber. It's not swords, it's S-words. So yes, Jeopardy, which recurred about 10 times when all was said and done, to me is the epitome of what Saturday Night Live should be. A takeoff on Celebrity, lighthearted but fun, dirty but not filthy the way a lot of it can be from time to time now. Just very smart. And then Wayne's World is kind of hard to disagree with Wayne's World.
Oh, you know, we totally almost forgot one of our favorite skits of all time, though. Who wants to marry a thousandaire?
You just want one single skit ever? It would be between that tic-tac-toe skit and the one I introduced you to. The Jim Thomas, who wants to get groped by a thousandaire? By a thousandaire.
Oh.
America?
Back in, when was that, like late 90s, Fox had a brilliant idea of a game show, reality show, Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire, which turned out to be a scam. And they spoofed it by making a show, like you just said, Who Wants to Be Groped by a Thousandaire, when the show was being hosted by Ben Affleck. And it was the good 90s cast with Gas Dyer, Sherry Terry, and Chris Kattan on the show. And each one of them introduced himself, "Hi, I'm blah, 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 blah." And then Gas was like, "I'm on the show, Showering with Bill. I've been in like 4 times." And he's like, "I believe Showering with Bill is not a show."
Showering with Bill? Not a real show.
And what? Then there's Chris Kattan. And he's like, "And we have Andy, da 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 da." And he's like, "I don't think I should be here. I'm a man." And
brother, you just pulled into the lead.
Oh, the hell you are, boy.
America, I'm going to touch you. I'm a truck driving guy with a deep voice called JL.
with a pit bull or something? Or
yeah.
Dude, he's like, the prize was if he chose you, get in the back, get felt up by him in the back of a beat up Nissan.
Spending time with his pit bull patriot. No, that if it's just one single skit, there would be, we could go forever. But the Orange Julius skit's really funny.
Yeah.
The Thousandaire may be my favorite. The tic tac toe that you can't seem to find anywhere with Norm Macdonald is the like decrepit old man that had to, in the 60s, grab a stepladder to like nail up the X or the O. It like takes him forever to do it. And it's this sight gag where you watch him nail this thing up for like 60 seconds, gets down, and then the guy's like, you know what? I think I'm going to move it on to the right. I don't think I want to put it there. And Norm Macdonald just stares at the guy, and it's staring through the camera like he's going to kill him. And he does it for like 8 seconds because he's this old man. He just stares at it, doesn't break character, and people just start losing it. Like, you can hear the audience just loses their mind. It's seriously one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Like, when I first watched it, I was literally in tears watching just this decrepit old man being played by Norm Macdonald. What the H, man. What the H.
Oh, man. Good time.
If you haven't watched Saturday Night Live, I really don't know what to say to you.
Like, ever?
Yeah. Like, if you're
listening. Is that even possible in today's day and age? Like, at least a skit.
I think
it'd
be impossible not to have at least heard a reference.
Yeah.
Which shows just how big the show is and the fact that it's 35 years and still going.
I mean, there's so many things you think some people have at least have heard in their life, like the term schwing.
Yep.
Or, you know, just some randomly, like, especially like Celebrity Jeopardy, because that, like, to me, one of the biggest skits, like you said, just in the past 20 years that they've done. I mean,
it's just, its influence on pop culture is undeniable, and the movies that it has spawned, and there would be people that would even go see them and didn't even know that they had been Saturday Night Live skits, and there were stars that would leave that show and go make horrible films, and people would still go out in droves and see at least the first one. And then it turned out it would be like The Hot Chick. Or whatever. Or Superstar, which is one I never saw, the Mary Catherine Gallagher story.
The Animal.
Oh! European Gigolo, Deuce Bigelow.
As we were speaking, I think I might have just found that tic-tac-doe.
If you actually found the one that I'm talking about, I need that link post-haste so I can save that bad boy. Because I have lost it, and I've tried to get it back, and it's so difficult to find. And it is so damn funny.
Nope.
I just cry.
Nope. I'm sorry. I lied. That's something else. Not it.
Bastard.
I know. I'm trying, man. I promise you.
I literally look for hours, at least once a year. I'll get into a mood where I'm like, I really want to try and find that. Maybe somebody has it. And sure enough, no. if you haven't watched Saturday Night Live, then you've missed a lot. But at least there's a whole lot of best of videos of a lot of these people that we've named and even some that we didn't get to. And if you're listening to this from Saturday Night Live, first off, that's kind of awesome. And second off, we didn't leave you off the list because you're not talented. We just had 10 spots and a limited amount of time.
We talked about Horatio Sands, so.
Yeah, not in a positive way.
Yeah. I mean, we mentioned most people. We mentioned Norma Dunn, obviously.
Well, yeah, we didn't mention Norma Dunn, but she was obviously really funny.
Sudeikis, we mentioned a couple times. Sandberg, we somehow didn't mention Sandberg.
Yeah, but we
mentioned Rachel Dratch.
And Sandler, which is the same thing. Except Sandler was better.
Much better. Whoa.
Well, Andy Samberg was also responsible for all the digital shorts. Every one of them. And he gets a lot of credit for that. I mean, he's responsible for Dick in a Box. And a lot of those kinds of things.
Harry Shearer.
Well, he's more known for The Simpsons, but yeah. Tim Kazurinsky, who played Sweet Chuck in the Police Academy movies.
Martin Short, when he guest starred a couple times.
Well, when he did the
Billy Crystal
bowl, and when he did the synchronized swimming, two more iconic skits of the first 10 years of the show. And yeah, Billy Crystal, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh, Michael McKean and Mark McKinney, because I'm left off.
Michael McKean in particular is somebody that could have made the list because he was another one that would do anything. Mark McKinney, of course, came off of Kids in the Hall and joined the cast for a couple of years. And he was awfully funny, but he was not Kids in the Hall, Kids in the Hall, Michael, or Mark. So it wasn't quite the same, but Mark McKinney's incredibly talented.
Mike McDonoghue.
That one, I don't know.
Robin Duke.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
And her husband, Brad Hall, the first update anchor.
Oh, man, I don't know how we let this guy. Chris Elliott.
Shit, all right, that's a great note to say goodbye.
Oh, come on.
It is time for a late dinner.
Or dinner, whoever may be listening at your appropriate dinner time. We are not normal.
Those of you on the West Coast.
And I smell meat in my house. Someone is cooking.
Better hope somebody's cooking.
I hope so. Otherwise, I need to put on some pants.
Well, that's right. Telling everybody that. So there's your Saturday Night Live retro.
Woo!
After
we finally did it, motherfuckers.
And once we
if I ever find
the Tic Tac Doe skit, I will post that.
If you somehow have the Tic Tac Doe skit and you live,
pay you,
listening, email it to Jason Martin.
No, don't give my email out.
That's why I didn't say anything.
Post this on Facebook or send us a certifiable Total Recall message to ctrpod@gmail.com. Or tweet us at CTR Podcast. See how I just kind of rolled it all back around? If you want to find us individually, at Avan360. I promise he doesn't talk about finances and banks very much. He talks about fun stuff. And follow him on Facebook. He links to a lot of really cool videos and has some clever things to say. Me, I drone out long, hugely long statuses. I'm trying to get better at it, but it hasn't worked so far.
Hey, if you got something important to say, you got something important to say. Whatever.
Yeah, I guess so.
Fuck.
A lot of times I don't. A lot of times I just like to read my stuff over and over.
You just made a post. Go, Claire, go. That's not too long.
That's true. It's Claire Donahue, WKU swimmer, who was in the semifinals of U.S. Olympic trials tonight, came in second place, and will be swimming tomorrow night for a chance to make the team. And she is incredible. Her first 50, I think, her first 50 meters was underneath the American record. It was better than the American all-time record. And she is a Hilltopper student, so we're obviously pretty excited about that. So there you go. Person of interest. Remember, if you go to our Facebook page, you can read that piece that I wrote on the show about 2 months before the season finale. So I don't think there's any kind of story spoilers there at all. It's more just an overall study of the characters and how I feel they relate to the Batman and Gotham universe. So if you like that, let me know. If not, you can go suck it.
We are so mature. We're just going to tell people to suck it.
Yeah, you like it to suck it, don't you?
You like it to sauce, eh?
Yeah. Another skit we both like.
This skit go too long, eh?
Yeah, the podcast go too long. Andy, end the podcast.
We end the podcast. Well, yes, you can follow us at Avan360 on Facebook, JMR100 on Facebook, and some other stuff. Don't attempt to find us on Google Plus, please, because I'm sure my last post was, "Oh, Google Plus is awesome. I'm going to use this every day." And I was like,
"Yeah, that's right. Don't follow us on Google Plus." I went the first day and I'm like, "Man, this is going to be badass." Never went back, ever.
It's still there because I have a Gmail, but whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't find us there, please. It's embarrassing how much we don't use it. But anyway, we are glad to do this again, and we are out. Side.